is coming. Between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Many years ago, Indian youth would go away in solitude to prepare for manhood. One such youth hiked into a beautiful valley. There he fasted, and on the third day decided to test himself against the mountain. When he reached the top, he could see forever, and his heart swelled with joy. Then he heard a rustle at his feet, and looking down, saw a snake. Before he could move, the snake spoke. "I am about to die. It is too cold for me up here, and I am freezing. There is no food, and I am starving. Put me under your shirt, and take me down to the valley." "Oh, no," said the youth. "I know your kind. You are a rattlesnake. If I pick you up, you will bite me, and I will die." "Not so," said the snake. "I will treat you differently. If you do this for me, you will be special. I will not harm you." The youth withstood for a while, but this was a very persuasive snake with beautiful markings. At last, the youth tucked it under his shirt and carried it down to the valley. There he laid it gently on the grass. When suddenly the snake coiled, rattled, and struck, biting him on the leg. "But you promised," cried the youth. "You knew what I was when you picked me up," said the snake as it slithered away. "You will always be warned when danger is near. The Lord cannot make your decisions for you, but he will always allow you to be aware of what is right when a decision or action is about to be made. Don't allow yourself to ever believe that you are different, in that you can participate in unrighteous activities even just once and not be hurt. Remember, you knew what I was when you picked me up."
Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and welcome to The Shooting Bench, the most radical, right-wing, conservative, no-holds-barred, information-packed, freedom-loving firearms information program on talk radio, beginning right now.
Die, fight, and you may die. Run, and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
And here we are, and welcome to The Shooting Bench. I'm turning this up just a little bit. There we go. I'm going to warn you again that I'm going to have to call my phone company tomorrow. I don't know what's going on, but my internet's bouncing in and out again. So I'm hoping that I can get this resolved by Friday. I don't know what in the world is happening here. So bear with me. We're really not that low budget. We're just on the worst phone company in the entire nation. Frontier Communications is as bad as it gets. I thought Quest was bad, but I was wrong. So, welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 25th of July. And before we get started, I better bounce over here and see if we're getting any. Okay, T-Bull says we're on 5x5. Okay, good enough. Pumpkin Cat, howdy. Cajun Mimi's back in there, regular now. AZ Bound and Tinker and Doc and Minnie and Mother Earth and Nan made it on time tonight. How about them apples? And Northwest Heavy. Northwest Heavy, my shipment was shipped yesterday of the trigger bars. I should have them in a couple of 3 days, and I will get these dry practice kits rolling out of here right away quick as soon as they get here. And Peanut Rider and Pumpkin Cat and T-Bow, we got one anonymous hanging in there. All right. Yeah, Peanut Rider, that's right. They're the only phone company around. They act like it. But I may look into, see what it's going to take to get cable internet here and get away from this phone. It's killing me. Concretin's in there. Hey, brother. Long time no talk to. All right. Let's get on. It looks like we've got sound for now. Once again, if we fade out, I'm sorry, but it's beyond my control. And it may still be from this saturated ground from all the rain we've had. I don't know. But whatever it is, I ain't liking it. No. My first update here, and I didn't know this, for the first time ever, I went down to Tucson this last weekend, and for the first time, I saw a no-gun sign on a motel. Hotel, whatever the hell you want to call it. I've never seen one before. Of course, I'm sure they do in some states, but at any rate, I was at a Red Lion Inn in Tucson, and they had the state-prescribed no-gun sign on the door, and I didn't even see it till halfway through the stay there, and once it was packed up and ready to head out, I didn't take my gun off. I just went in there anyway, and of course they didn't say anything, but that doesn't matter. So Red Lion has been scratched off my list, and that's too bad because that one down there is it's easy to get to, right on the main drag. Parking's not terrible. The rooms are nice, relatively inexpensive, you know, reasonable price, but that's too bad. When they have that sign up, they have been scratched off the list. I probably will write a letter to them or send an email to them or something and let them know. But that was very, very disheartening. Now, there are a couple of others I won't go to because of political things that they've done, but I've never seen a no-gun sign on a motel door before. So there you have it. I don't know if all Red Lions are that way, but the Red Lion in Tucson, Arizona is that way. So we will not be going back. Had a good time down there in Tucson. I think I told you I had the wedding for a wedding reception for a friend down there. So anyway, it was no need to go through all that again. So where do we start? I had trouble loading up all my stuff because right when I was loading it, the internet quit. So let me did this here. Let's see if we can change that a little bit. All right, there we go. Let's do it this way. Well, here not too long ago, we talked about CIA. It is Cajun Mimi. It is harsh. It's ridiculous. I couldn't believe it. We talked about the straw, the plastic straw thing. I think it was in Seattle where they're doing this. Now California's doing it. Different sets of penalties for giving out plastic straws. They say if you give plastic straws to people, they one of them is a $1,000 fine, one of them is 6 months in jail for giving plastic straws. Now, I perfectly understand the concern for the straws that are everywhere. I get that. And I know it makes a mess and it wastes plastic and all that, but what about the plastic lids and the plastic cups and the plastic spoons and the plastic knives and forks and plastic bags and this, that, and the other? They're everywhere, everywhere, they're everywhere, they're everywhere. So I don't really get the whole straw thing here. But Santa Barbara now has authorized jail time. Santa Barbara, California, authorized bail time. Six months of jail or $1,000 fine for giving plastic straws to their customers. So I saw one place that had come up with an ingenious cup, a sippy cup lid here, that uses about 9 times more plastic than the straw does. And where do you think those sippy cup lids are going to wind up? On the street, in the gutter, in the oceans, in the lakes, in the parks. Same place the straws do, imagine. Maybe not quite as many when people throw their cup away. You know, often, at least I hope that people, once in a while, will put them in trash cans. Hopefully the lid will still be attached. I don't know why they don't go back to paper straws like they used to have and wax paper cups. And you didn't have to worry about it so much. Of course, I don't worry about it anyway, but anyway. If you've been keeping up with Venezuela, they are, pumpkin cat, that's what I was thinking. Go back to paper straw. Venezuela, they say they're on track to top 1,000,000% inflation rate by the end of this year. Now, I'm not real sharp on financial stuff and inflation and all this stuff, but 1,000,000% sounds a little rough. Well, they can thank their socialist president, and that is exactly where we would be if we'd have stayed with Obama. If Hillary would have taken over the helm, we would be headed right along with him. Of course, it'd take us a little longer to get there, but we would get there. They have, people are escaping. They're flooding the borders, going to Brazil and what is the other bordering company there within our country that has a, starts with an E, can't think of it, Ecuador, I think. And they're, fleeing the country as fast as they can. They've already eaten about, I don't know how many of their zoo animals and just having all kinds of problems getting different commodities and things that just basic needs for life. So I think by the end of this year, we're going to see some pretty major developments come out of Venezuela. Now, I don't know if we will, I got kind of a notion that America may come to Venezuela's rescue in some manner. And I don't know if that's, I hope not. It's not our problem. And I hope Trump is smarter than that. If he does it, I'd like to think that there's some reason for it. So, anyway, Nan, I know, no kidding. Somebody tell Peanut Rider to refresh there. I think we've still got, thank you, Doc.
Doc's on top of it there.
All right, let's move on here. Do you guys ever watch, what is that show? It's not CSI. It is it Law and Order? I think. Is that the one that has the FBI agent named David Rossi on there? I think. No, Criminal Minds. Criminal Minds is what it is. Well, I just found out that this guy, his real name is Joe Mantegna, I guess, Mantegna. He's a gun guy, believe it or not. I mean, 1911s, admittedly, but at least he's a gun guy. He gave his custom 6-hour 1911. He was able to choose the gun that his character carried in that show. And he chose the 6-hour 1911, has the Marine emblem on it to signify the character's service in the Marine Corps. And it's got the... Well, I think that's about the only thing. Nice gun. It's top of the line as far as Sig goes. Well, he had another one just like it that was his personal gun, believe it or not. And he just donated that to the NRA Museum. And the NRA and Sig were both very, very thankful for it. I can understand how Sig would be thankful for whatever they can get out of it. But obviously, I'm not a Sig fan, but anyway. But I've shot some of them, and there's some of them are okay. I'm just not a big fan. You know, Ollie North is the president of the NRA now, right? I think this just happened this last year, or year before last. If you don't keep up with that kind of thing, well, Lieutenant Colonel North is now the NRA president. So he was the one that accepted the gun on behalf of the NRA. So I thought that was kind of neat, just for the heck of it. So, come on. Giddy up. All right, we'll go back to the old-fashioned way. I cannot believe it's 21st century and I can't keep the damn internet running here long enough to do an hour-long show. All right, it's coming here. Once in a while, you hear of a cop doing something that's a little bit out of the ordinary for one reason or another. Well, this guy was fired. Now, get this. He served court summons to the interim police chief and the mayor, charging them with felonies. He was fired right after he executed a search warrant on his own department and filed charges against the mayor and the police chief and the former police chief. Now, I'm really anxious to see what happens after this, when this story gets out. It's brand new. It just came out last night, I think, or yesterday. They said he filed for whistleblower protection with the New Holland Fiscal Officer a week before he arrived at the special meeting of the village council and served Mayor Betzko with a court summons. The Fayette Advocate, the paper there, reported that Sergeant Mick filed the same whistleblower protection affidavit with the mayor, police chief, and New Holland Village Council Vice President Greg Shaw. It says, pursuant to Whistleblower Protection Act, let this serve as my notification that I believe felonies are being committed by New Holland Mayor Betzko and New Holland Village Marshal David Conrad, pursuant to these statutes here. This is my complaint. The village and its administration are hereby put on notice that you are barred from seeking retaliatory measures against me, including but not limited to removing or suspending the employee from employment, withholding the employee's salary increases, transferring or reassigning the employee, denying the employee promotion or otherwise would have received, reducing the employee in pay or position. On Monday night, after he served these people with their court summons, he was fired on the spot. Now this may not go over well for this department. He said, folks, just to let you know, when you do the right thing around here, you get terminated for it. He told, I guess, quite a crowd on that live video feed from the meeting that they were having. The Columbus Dispatch reported that the part-time, mostly volunteer New Holland Police Department, which serves a town of 800 residents, has been caught up in a number of scandals and controversies lately. Let me scroll on down here and tell you what they did. In May, they charged the then chief. You know what this chief's name was? The chief's last name is Lawless. Imagine that. Charged the then chief Lawless and New Holland Police Captain David Conrad with a misdemeanor count each of criminal trespassing after the two ignored requests to leave the property of a woman. They had an ongoing speed trap battle just outside the village. Both men pleaded not guilty. And anyway, he kept pursuing it. And as time went on and things escalated there to a point that he filed fifth-degree felony charges of forgery after they had tried to forge some documents to get out of trouble and everything. So I'm gonna really try to remember to keep an eye on this one. So there is a GoFundMe account for this guy if you want to help him. I mean, I might try to cough up a couple of bucks here. I don't know what the, let's see, GoFundMe.com/support-fired-police-sergeant. You can probably just do GoFundMe Sergeant Mick and find it, M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U. No, that's not him. Anyway, he's going to be needing some expenses, help with expenses to fight this, I'm sure. So, there you have it. There was today, there's a couple things. You know, we have the primaries coming up here before long. Next month, I guess. But next month is not very far away. It's like a week. So, there's two different things have gone on here. One of them right here in Arizona. And this is from the Arizona Daily Independent. There was a... Come on. Arizona voters have grown accustomed to the Secretary of State Michelle Reagan's use of taxpayer dollars to promote herself, but her most recent advertising blitz has raised serious questions. According to an article, pay attention here, this is in Arizona. For you folks that's in Arizona, this is a concern. According to an article by Randy Soto in the Western Journal, ads featuring Reagan are showing up in Mexico. These ads are encouraging people to register to vote. Now, I don't get how all this works. I mean, I know how it works, but I don't know why it works. A registered Arizona spender, vendor, as you were, a registered Arizona voter spending time in Mexico noticed the ad pop up on his computer, along with other local ads indicating the ad providers clearly recognized the computer's IP address was outside the country. That's not cool. This, you know, this has been a pretty remarkable year so far. A lot of stuff has gone on. You know, I may not be 100% pleased with everything that Trump has done, but I'm pretty pleased. He's done a lot of good stuff. There's been a couple things I'm not happy with, but all in all, if he does 10 things good and one thing bad, does that mean we throw him under the bus and get rid of him? If you watch Facebook, that's exactly what that means. It doesn't matter how many jobs he's created. It doesn't matter how much better the economy is. It doesn't matter that we never hear ISIS on the news anymore. None of that stuff matters. What matters is that he slept with some two-bit whore 10 years before he was president. That's what matters. You know, it didn't matter that Bill Clinton was being all frisky with some hot little intern in the Pentagon, in the White House, in the Oval Office. That was okay. But to do that 10 years before you're president, or 6 years, or whatever it was, that is totally unacceptable. And that is the one thing that we'll concentrate on instead of all the stuff that he's done good. So, there you have it. Now, there's another thing. Let me find this another thing here. Let's see here. Where is it? Hang it right here. This is how you do things in Chicago. Apparently, it's how you do things in Arizona, too, compared to that last story. But in Arizona, no, in Chicago, there is a candidate there running for mayor, a millionaire businessman, running for mayor in Chicago. He pronounced blessings on a multitude of churchgoers here, and potential voters, by the way, on Sunday at church by handing out hundreds of thousands of dollars, actually $300,000. He handed out $300,000 to about 2,000 worshipers at a church on Chicago's south side. He says one of the biggest property tax relief assistance events. So this guy is not even the mayor yet, and he is trying to conduct a property tax relief assistance event, more commonly known as church. This is the Dr. Willie Wilson Foundation. Dr. Willie Wilson. So let's stand by here just 1 second. All right. Let's see. Don't miss one of the biggest property tax relief something. Dr. Willie Wilson giving away $300,000 to struggle. Can't see all of this. Maybe if I turn it. Yeah. Struggling homeowners this Sunday, July 2nd, 10 a.m. at the New Covenant Baptist Church. So this guy, just out of the goodness of his heart, happens to be running for mayor, but that has nothing to do with it. But he is going out to all these struggling homeowners, 2,000 of them. He's handing out tax relief from Dr. Willie Wilson Foundation. What in the world? So, between what they're doing in Arizona and what they're doing in Chicago, we ought to have a whole new voter base here. It's not dead people or illegal aliens. Well, these Democrats wouldn't have anybody voting for them, so bless their heart. That's just what happens. All right, let's move on. No, let's don't move on. It's just about break time, so let me see if I can find something here that resembles a break, and we'll just take it. Take it for what it's worth here. All right, stand by 1 second. Let's.
I'll be back.
Yes, we're singing some Simon de Geschichte over there, Frank Coffin, what you leave with that guy?
After the turn of the century, in the clear blue skies over Germany, came a roar and a thunder men had never heard, like the screaming sound of a big war bird.
The following is a public service announcement brought to you by the John Denver Committee to Prevent Air Show Violence and Deaths Now. The JDC PASVADN says that until we close the air show loophole and place common sense regulations on assault planes with high-capacity fuel tanks, the death toll at air shows will continue to rise. Fuel tanks in assault planes should be limited to 10 gallons or less, except for law enforcement and military aircraft. Call your congressman today and ask him to support SB 1369, written in honor of the many victims of needless air show violence.
Amen, try, and amen, die. Now they're buried. Your things and go.
will be lost. Nobody knows. Mama grabbed the Bible and the pictures off the wall. She packed the car with memories but could not fit them all. I could still see her troubled eyes while she tried to decide just what she would take with her and what to leave behind. The man said, fly, fly, the devil's inside, the rodeo and the jet of sky. Fires that burn out of control. God bless those left behind to fight the flames and hold the line. Give it all to save our home from the fire on the rodeo. Every day from the shelter at 5 o'clock in 10, and they told us to hang together. We're doing the best we can. Someone said the president's here, but it's hard to get information. Is our home still there or is it gone? The hard part is not knowing. Fly, fly, the devil's inside, the rodeo and the jet of sky. Fires that burn out of control.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country. That ain't country.
Yeah, we country.
You know, it was just 1 week ago yesterday that the Ninth Circuit Court, of all courts, 1 week ago yesterday, upheld a... Anyway, they supported the, I forgot what the wording is for it, but they are doing away with the high-capacity magazine ban in California. They said it was unconstitutional. So what the state of California is going to do about that, I don't know, but that's not the big story. The big story is yesterday, the Ninth Circuit Court once again has ruled... The first thing, I want everybody to sit down, and if you're holding a loaded gun, I want you to put it in a holster. If you got anything sharp in your hands, put it away. This is a little tough to swallow. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday ruled that the Constitution does indeed protect your right to openly carry a gun in public. Anybody hurt yourself? Okay, good. I think that they are scared. They are afraid of being overruled, shot out of the saddle. And there's a quote here that I could not even fathom would ever come out of anybody on the Ninth Circus. This was Judge, I can't even say his first name, D.R. Muid, or I don't have any idea. He's an Irish-sounding name here, O'Scanlan, wrote, "We do not take lightly the problem of gun violence, but for better or for worse, the Second Amendment does protect the right to carry a firearm in public for self-defense." This was due to, last year, they wouldn't even hear this. It came up last year, I think it was over the same case, as a matter of fact, in Hawaii. Said in the single, was there just one dissenting vote here? Not sure what the score was. Two of the three judges, voted. So the single dissenting vote said, I lost my place again. There you go. He said he argued that the Second Amendment does not prevent licensing rules such as the one used in Hawaii and other states. There was a guy sued in Hawaii for open carry was only to be done on your property and in your home. And he sued for this. Well, eventually it actually made it to federal court. And Hawaii got shot out of the saddle. They said, no, this is, he is perfectly within his rights. Now, I'm not sure exactly, they're not supposed to, Tebow, I don't know, you say you ought to say already read that one. I don't know if you already read it or if I already read it. I know I didn't already read it because it just came out yesterday and I didn't have a show yesterday. So maybe you already read it and survived. But at any rate, they I don't know. They're not supposed to legislate from the bench. We know that they do sometimes. When a court does something in their favor, something they like, it becomes law. I don't see this happening here. I see it being fought tooth and nail by California and Hawaii and some of these other states here, Illinois. But there's going to be, this is exciting. There's going to be a lot of activity centered around this ruling over the next few months. I think that it's going to be very amusing and maybe even beneficial to some of the rest of us. For any of those, if the federal court rules this, somebody will say, well, the state can still make any laws they want. Not really. No, they can't. If the court has ruled that it is unconstitutional, any level of government cannot infringe on that oppose it, maybe. So it don't matter if it's city, county, state, or what. If federal court has, a state court did do it. Hawaii was the state court that ruled that it was illegal for them to do that. And so any other state can do whatever they want to, but when the feds come out and do this, when the Ninth Circuit Court comes out and it comes out with a ruling, then the state ruling is no longer holds any water. So I am I'm real excited to see what happens to this. Okay, Tebow, I got you. I see what you're saying there. But we'll see what happens. I am dang excited to see this stuff happening here. You know, I've talked about this a little bit before, and I've always believed, not always, I didn't think about it, and it would happen in a million years, you know, 20, 25, 30 years ago. But over the years, a little bit at a time, I have come to the conclusion, as many other Americans and patriots have, that a civil war is pretty much inevitable. The question is, and it may have been answered recently, who is going to start these activities? I never thought in a million years that it would be going this direction. But I'm not so damn sure that the Democrats are not going to start this, because their entire, everything that they believe in is being dashed asunder by the Trump administration. I mean, he's killing them. He's just taking away, you know, one thing after another, and they're not liking this. And what will push this over the edge is going to be the elections this year, possibly. I've learned not to say too definitively, but possibly it will be the elections this year. You know, we've all thought, or at least I have, and most of the people that I know and have talked to, would probably be patriots, you know, maybe, you know, a 3% group, or maybe just a group of radicals would set this off. Or that maybe it would come as a result of activity in and amongst the illegal aliens, the UN, you know, several different things, several different factions, you know, things that might happen. But now I'm wondering, we've seen Antifa and all these people out there training and practicing and doing stuff. We, you know, we've talked about this quite a bit before. But it's starting to, I've said this just in passing, kind of, you know, in an amusing sort of way, that thought that might happen, but it's starting to look more and more like it's more likely, more possible. I won't say likely yet, but I'll say possible. Anyway, all I can say is, if that's what they want to do, if they want to get it started, I wish they'd just hurry up and do it, you know. Quit beating around the bush here. We'll see what happens, and it may, well, I can't, you know, everybody says it's going to happen this year, and they've been saying that for the last 20 years, so we'll see what happens this year, for real, this year. All right, let me scroll down here a little bit. You know, as strict as the gun laws are in Canada, the Toronto mayor now wants to make them even stricter. It worked out so well for him last week that they want to make it even better. He says, why does anyone need to have a gun after the shooting? The city has a gun problem, he said. Yeah, they do. Not enough people have guns there. I got into an argument with a guy yesterday, I think. He said, I used to be a Canuck. And when I was there, I said something about it. I said, when I first posted this on Facebook, I said, this is fake news. There's no way. With all those gun restrictions, they can't have this kind of stuff going on there. Everybody that knows me knows I was being facetious, and evidently this guy didn't know me. And he said, oh, BS. He said, when I was there, I had guns. You know, I started shooting when I was 3 years old, blah, 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 blah. And I said, fine, good for you. Hooray for your side. But that doesn't change the fact that you have all these restrictions on guns, buying guns, owning guns, storing guns. Yeah, he said, I carried a gun to work. I said, okay, well, if you carried a gun to work, then you were either a cop, a security guard, or something that, you know, around something that handles large sums of money. He said, I was a ATM mechanic. Said, okay, fine. That doesn't change the fact that there's lots of restrictions there. And this went on and on, and it never did soak into him that all I was saying, I know there's lots of guns in Canada, lots and lots of guns in Canada. That doesn't change the fact that there's lots and lots of restrictions to go right along with them. Anything from a single-shot .22 rifle to an AR-15 to whatever, there's lots of restrictions. You can't just run down and some gal come on there and said, well, yeah, you can buy these kind of guns without any restrictions at all. I said, no, you damn sure can't either. I posted the law up there. I said, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is considered a firearm that you can buy in Canada that has as little or less restrictions as pretty much any place in the United States. Well, that's not true. There are cities, there are certain some jurisdictions that's just as bad or worse than Canada. But what I say, as a country, we're talking federal laws. So Canada's federal laws, regardless of what their state laws are, the federal laws are stricter than our federal laws. If every state in our United States could abide by federal laws, you would be able to legally own and carry a handgun at 18 years old. Now, in some states you can. You can here in Arizona. It's 19 in New Mexico. There's several states that you can. Indiana, you can. But there's lots of states that you cannot. So if we abided by federal law, that would all go away. We talked Monday about the trying to overturn this prohibition against buying handguns over state lines. So that would have to go away. You know, while we're on that topic, we've touched on this briefly, it's been several months ago, but there's, this is going around again, and I don't understand why it's going around again. It's been around and around and around, but it keeps getting posted every once in a while. I understand, it's fine. I don't have one thing against it. It's perfectly okay. But when you see one of these posts that says that if you have a medical marijuana card that you can't buy a firearm, that hasn't changed since 1968. That law is 50 years old. The medical marijuana card does not change anything. Not only does it make it where you can't buy a gun, you can't own a gun. Because if you use marijuana at all under federal law, you are a prohibited possessor. You cannot have a family heirloom gun in your possession. You cannot go out and buy one legally at a yard sale or something like that, or off of an internet site or something. So if you see that, don't freak out. Because it's real, but it's not new. All the court did was clarify what the law has said since the 1968 Gun Control Act came out. The fact that the doctor has issued you a medical marijuana card, the fact that your state allows you to own a gun with that medical marijuana card, doesn't mean that the feds do. So, yes, in some states, you can buy a used, you still can't buy one from a dealer legally, but if you bought one from a used gun from a individual, from an individual, then some states will tell you that that's okay. They don't mind. That doesn't change the fact that the feds do mind. As long as you don't do anything to bring attention to yourself and the feds find out about it, in your state, you'll be fine. If you have to use that gun for self-defense or for some other reason, it comes to the attention of federal authorities or the ATF, you will not be fined. You will have committed a felony. So just understand how that works before you go out and say, well, the doctor prescribed this, so I ought to be able to have a gun. It is not a fact. So. All right, let's see. We're getting pretty close to quitting time. Let me see what else I got here to throw at you just before. Oh, I guess everybody's seen this all over. Good night, Pumpkin Cat. Thank you for joining us, sir. It's been all over the news all day today, and that is that a bullet from an LAPD officer is the one that actually killed the manager at the Trader Joe's shooting. When was that, yesterday, I think? Yesterday or day before? You know, we have to be, I kind of jumped on this prematurely. I may or may not have been correct in my assumption here. There's no way to know. Hey, NM Glock, yeah, no kidding, you're late. We're about to sign off, but thanks for coming in anyway. And spending time with family is good. That's okay. You are completely exonerated from all charges there. You're okay. Without seeing through the eyes of that officer, I won't even say the body cam. You may or may not see what you need to see through the body cam. Without seeing through his eyes and being there, or her eyes as it may be, it's hard to say if this was a training issue. You know, if LAPD is about like New York. They have been involved in a lot of shady stuff, and they've hurt a lot of people when they shouldn't have. They always get away with it. You know, I feared for my life. Yeah. But we don't know about this one for sure. They said that this woman come running to the door when she heard all the commotion out there. He may have already clicked the send button when she stepped out the door. It may have been a through-and-through shot. The bullet may have gone through the bad guy and hit her. You know, there's a number of things that would make this not okay, but understandable and justifiable. My first impression is that there probably could have been another way to do this without putting bystanders in danger. But like I said, until I can see the event through his eyes, at least through the body cam or something, there's I can't really badmouth the cop because I don't know. It may have been a training issue. It may have been sheerly coincidence. May have been just carelessness on her part. They're still going to blame everything on the bad guy there. Good night, Nan. Sorry you're having problems there. But looks like NM Glock's having problems too. So hopefully the podcast will be clean, though, so it'll be okay. I'll get it up here next day or two. So anyway, that's all I got to say about that. So, well, I'm going to ease on towards the door here. We do have, I tell you what, I have just, actually it's probably going to happen this coming Friday. The local fire department here wants me to do a CCW class for their firefighters and other employees in the in the department there. So that's not a it's not a class that I'm going to be able to open up to the public. But I just thought I'd let you know that it's kind of cool. It'd be fun. Still got the class going. Nothing's changed up in Colorado. That one is full and sealed and signed, sealed, and delivered and ready to go. So we may, if everything goes according to plan up there, I may try to get old, we may try to get old AZ bound in the, in on the, Liberty Lounge that night if we're not too pooped to do it. Well, might be kind of fun. So, all right. Well, I'm going to get out of here and I'll see you guys Friday. Hopefully my internet will be good. It's been holding pretty steady. It bounced out a couple of times during the show, but came right back. So I don't think it caused any harm. We'll just keep our fingers crossed and hope everything goes well. This Friday, we are doing the Cajun show again. We had a lot of trouble with that show this last Liberty Lounge. So I have promised Cajun Mimi that that's what's going to happen, so that is what's going to happen. Some of the songs you heard last week, but you only got to hear maybe half of them, and probably none of them were uninterrupted, or very few of them. So I didn't even save that that podcast. I just trashed the whole thing. So we're going to do this all over again and pretend like that never happened. I've already moved the order of the songs around. The only thing that's going to be the same is the first one and the last two. Everything else has been moved around. So I will see you guys on Friday, and I do appreciate you joining me. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.